Recording in progress. Listen to this. Listen to this gem. I think I listened to this before, but I don't remember. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I don't think you're ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, here it is.
Next song, Chacha can dance song.
Yeah, hear that? Sounds good. It's a good tune. Yeah.
Oh, I was just about to cut in there, part.
Yeah, just ready to hit that second hard.
Yeah,
you hit that second, and then you just that guy. You know, he's the really good lead, but. He's not, doesn't have a lot of experience, you know, and he's got to take time to get ready to lead.
Oh, yeah, he's the throat clearer.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll cut and then spend, maybe sing half of the first start and then get ready, you know, find that nice sweet spot on the throat where you pinch to clear the throat.
The pinch.
Yeah, and you kind of look nervous around like at your hand or your leg and you.
Then they put their hand on their just above their knee, remember? And you kind of like push your shoulder up.
Yeah, brace.
Put your shoulder up.
Yeah, you brace. And, you've missed three quarters of the start already. But man, when that lead comes in, sweet, nice and high, crisp, sweet. Bouncy.
Yeah.
You
got the high bass. The low treble.
Man. Yeah. That's where it's at.
One man show.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody can second him.
No.
Nobody
the
can
old
second
Junior Merrick. The old Kenny Merrick.
People try to second, but it sounds like an old analog tape recorder.
It's just kind of all over the place, and then as soon as it drops, and everyone kind of falls in line again, and then, woo,
yeah, build up to the next.
You know, people think singing is like that. The high is in the Saturday night rocking, you know, everyone's in tune, but really the high is in that little tiny powwow that like everyone's at because the winter's long,
yeah,
and no one's really that good. But yeah. A fella can just kind of take leads when he wants to take leads. He can sit in on a drum and take over for one song. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And he can like come and go as he pleases.
Oh, yeah. No kind pressure.
Kind of a half-ass arrogant guy, you know? Yeah. You kind of come in and you just take a lead. No one even passes you the lead. You just kind of like.
You just take it. That's when you can dial it up to about. Almost to 100% of your ability, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're in a contest, you know, you just learned a song, you don't know it that well.
Kind of bashful.
Yeah, you're a bit bashful. Maybe not quite in tune with everybody yet. That's like that first song on a Friday night of the contest.
I don't know why I think of. Wait, did I freeze up?
No, you're still good. I can hear you.
Did I? I think of OMAC for some reason. OMAC Washington.
Oh, yeah.
With everything you're describing, I think of OMAC Washington. I don't think of the summertime, and I don't even think I've even been there in the winter, but that's what I think of. Weird, huh?
OMAC, yeah. That's quite the experience.
It is.
You haven't been, you got to experience that at least once in your life.
I won a switch dance contest in OMAC, Washington in like 2000,
Really?
5, maybe 4.
Hmm. You are froze up, but I can still hear you.
Yeah.
Turn your camera off for a second and turn it back on. Because you got an ugly face that's froze right on my screen. I don't want to look at it.
Let's not do that.
You don't want the ugly face.
No.
I mean, there ain't many poses, you know, that you got to choose from.
And it's always like,
yeah.
That was in the White Lodge days when I was kind of singing with White Lodge a little bit. I didn't sing with them a whole lot, but I learned a lot about singing.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about like learning songs fast, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's such high stress, man.
I think it actually can ruin you, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, I notice people who, not all people, but like when you're trying to learn songs from your own people.
Yeah.
Because of the powwow world, you've conditioned yourself to like learn songs on the fly.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean?
So yeah.
Your song retention's a little harder, it seems like.
It is. It is. I believe it. I don't know. So yeah, you know, lots happened since our last episode. I don't even know when our last episode was.
Hey, I'm back.
You weren't even on the last one.
The last episode, I wasn't on it.
That's how much we've forgotten about you.
You guys had the last episode was Pat to the Mizat.
He
wasn't filling in for me. It was just it was more of an internet issue. I've been having these weird internet problems where I can't get internet and all this stuff. So Sean Dean has been patient with me.
So, yeah, I've almost had it.
I can tell. That's why our compromise was that I'm in Helena, Montana for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks consultation meeting with the state. And we're just going to use their Wi-Fi and we're going to record an episode and get back in the groove of things. And I'll be here tomorrow night if you want to do another one, but I'm in Bismarck next week if you want to do another one then.
Let's do it, man.
Keep doing that. And then
do it.
It's fun. Yeah. So
it was January 19th. That was our last episode release. And we
together?
Together it was November 24th.
Man, that's embarrassing.
You need
man.
To get your act together. Some of that was my fault. I didn't have time when you had time. You didn't have time when I had time.
Let the record reflect that there was times where I said, let's record. I'm free. I can do it now. And you were traipsing all over the world.
I was.
I've been San Diego at one point.
No, I didn't go to San Diego.
I think you was in, Nepal.
No,
at one point. I think you was.
I didn't leave the country.
I think you were studying turtles on the Galapagos Islands at one point. Indigenous methods of research on Galapagos Island turtles.
Who's indigenizing the Galapagos?
Okay, I'm off a little bit, guys. That was a dumb joke.
You are off, man. Come on.
Galapagos Island turtle joke? No.
No.
And how did I not segue into Turtle Island? I don't know.
You need to be eating. You're generally eating something.
I am, actually. You're right. It's like Brad Pitt in every movie. He eats. I didn't compare myself to Brad Pitt. Actually.
Yeah, let's make that clear.
So,
okay.
You did travel quite a bit. I did. You did travel, and I did. I was in North Carolina. I was in Phoenix. Denver. Tipple work requires you to travel quite a bit. North Carolina was the National Association of Tribal Stork Preservation Officers, I did a podcast with them. It's called Tipple Talk.
Tipple Talk. How do you find it? Just Google Tipple Talk?
I think just Google Tipple Talk. I don't know.
T-I-P-O or what?
T-H-P-O.
Oh, T-H-P-O.
Tipple, if you're a stickler.
Thippo. That's Thippo. Yeah. Thippo but, talk.
Yeah, I recorded it with the host. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her name, but as a guest, it was myself, Diane Yupi from Fort Peck, and Tiana Limpy from Northern Cheyenne. We recorded it together, and we can find the link and put it in the deal. So
let's do that. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to do. Yeah, I was in North Carolina, and I got to spend about 3-4 days with a guest we had, Ryan Emanuel. You remember that? The Vampire.
The Vampire. I do remember that podcast. And remember, I specifically remember saying that he opened my eyes to a lot of the East Coast kind of struggle. When I went there, we were at Cherokee Nation.
Yeah.
Went to their museum and spent some time there. And man, I was impressed, dude.
Yeah.
I admit, I'm telling the podcast public that I was one of those people who teased a little bit about the Cherokee. I wasn't ever mean, but I grew up on a reservation where teasing and talking crazy was nuts. And but I won't do it anymore. My eyes were opened. I was impressed with what I seen.
He's not Cherokee, man.
I know. I'm talking about North Carolina. I'm just talking about North Carolina.
All right, but he
just talked to us about like
tribes
in the east, and then his people who are further to the coast, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about North Carolina in general. Like I was there, it blew my mind. I was impressed. You didn't let me finish, man.
I'm sorry, man. Okay, I'm sorry.
We're off.
I know.
So anyway, I apologize. I want the record to reflect that I am apologizing to the Cherokee people. And
it's been reflected.
And it opened my eyes up to all of the East Coast, especially the Southeast, that hey, maybe there's a lot more there than most of us think. Because I'll say it. I'm going to say it right on this podcast.
All right. I want to hear.
There's judgment between tribes, you know?
Hey, there is.
I think sometimes we in the West tend to think we're like the last Indians, you know?
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah. Not true. Because there's other last Indians.
Yeah, I think we're all the last Indians.
You find them behind a waterfall in the
Oxbow.
In the Oxbow. Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, dude. That's one of my favorite movies. Dude.
I know it is. That's why I bring it up, and it's so stupid. Okay.
I like my Indian movies to be fantasy. If I wanted accuracy, I'd watch a documentary.
You'd go watch Avatar or what?
I want fantasy.
If I want accuracy, I'd watch what is that one? Man Called Horse.
Oh, yeah. If I wanted accuracy, I'd watch Yellowstone. Yeah. Jesus, man.
Started
on that debacle.
Wait a minute.
We're getting out of hand here.
I want to do something here based on what you said about what did you say? What did you say? What were you talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You were saying something very important, yeah.
About Cherokee?
Tribes. Hating on other tribes.
Yeah, there's just some judgment.
Man. Yeah. I want you to listen to something that you said way back, episode 10. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you are. This is going to be kind of a time for growth for you. And I really want you to listen deeply, take this in, and let this be a moment you can change your life a little bit, you know, because we're all of the listeners, including me, we're concerned about you. This is actually an intervention. Your family's all on the line. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Listen to this now. I want you to listen to this. Wait, I don't think I shared the sound. Okay, listen to this. God darn it. Here you go.
Then it's left hanging, and then it's just that responsibility.
Yeah, and part of it is you take whatever criticism you get, but it's also the belief that that criticism isn't dogma, right? So it's not like, it's not concrete. Criticism is just like anything. In the old days when people would tell stories in Crow, they would have these storytelling sessions and somebody would tell the story of, like, say, a battle. And then somebody else would say, your version was good, but this is how I heard it. And then they would tell their version. Mm. And there was no, like, no one took that as, like, oh, he's saying I'm a liar, you know? And now we have, we kind of have that, like, oh, he's attacking me. And where back then it was like commonplace to have the same story told 3, 4, or 5 different times in a night, but it's all by different people telling their version of the story. And so to me, I kind of accepted that and I was like, well, me and Marty are telling our version of this.
How did it make you feel?
Gross, dude.
Well, make you feel gross?
Well, I don't want to hear myself, dude.
You hear yourself every day.
Shut up. I mean, it was, I don't know. I guess I don't know.
That was like the little kid, the seventh grade. That was a seventh grade conversation right there. You know, you won the argument when you make somebody say, shut up. unless they say it in a particular tone, then the battle's still on. Shut up. Then you still gotta go. You still gotta go more.
Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. But if you said it the way you said it, yeah, you've been defeated. Okay, go.
I got defeated. I mean, I don't know. For one, I don't like to hear my own voice, but yes, you're right. I hear it every day.
Yeah, get over it. Yeah.
I guess I stand by that, I guess, but that's, I'm kind of, oh, okay. You tell me, you talk to me, talk to me. This is your intervention.
Well, no, just thinking about this idea you just mentioned, you know, where, you know, some things happen in the past, especially as you get older, you reflect back on your things you've said and, but I don't know, you just get, you come to this realization that you don't know it all. And you say things that maybe don't align with the truth. But then again, I think this clip that you're talking about, I think leans on sort of what the truth is. And in this case, it's not really bound. Or it's not static in time, because even at one particular time, there can be several different versions of the truth. And I think, and I don't know, you tell me what your thoughts are about it. We hear a lot of debate or disagreement in tribal communities about this thing that is the truth. And you were talking about it in this clip about how in there, during that time when these folks were talking about different battles or different stories, well, there was different versions. There wasn't arguments about it. It was just the way it was, because everybody could recite it in a different way or add a different perspective or angle on that. So is that, do you think, can this idea of multiple truths or perspectives of truth, would you feel that would be something that would be characteristic of what you might call like this real broad idea of indigenous research or tribal research, that would be one of the things that you'd have to come in knowing that you're not going to arrive at a single truth, but there might be multiple versions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think you agree with that.
I do. So Cornel West one time, he was talking about spirituality, and he said that Islam, Christianity, and Judaism do not have a monopoly on spiritual currency. So I would say the same goes for truth. You know, there's no single narrative that holds all of truth in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's also no culture that has survived on one narrative.
Right.
Variation is required by humans.
Yeah.
Both, I think both genetically, right? Like variation.
Well, it should, yeah.
I think variation is needed, but I guess when talking about truth or what this idea of truth is, which I don't know if is even like a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's not an isolate. So you can just arrive at the most accurate point, but that doesn't always make that the truth. There's truths.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Shit. I might not even believe what I'm saying now in 2 weeks, 5 weeks, but
yeah.
I do know variation is important. And so when it comes to indigenous research method,
methodology,
which I would, I'm actually going to say this. I don't think it's a methodology.
Okay.
I don't think it's there. I think we call it that because that's the thing to call it. But I think it's in its infancy. It's a philosophy. It's more of a motto. It's an academic motto.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's there yet. I think methodologies, theoretical base takes a long time to define, because we're only talking about IRM in terms of academics.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's just us being Indian.
Yeah.
So we don't need to even worry about that. But
yeah,
we're trying to fit our beliefs and ideology and intent into this framework.
Yeah.
That's IRM. So
yeah,
I don't think it's there yet. So I'm going to say it straight up, like the heavy hitters. And IRM,
yeah.
I don't think you're wrong. I just don't think it's there. I think method is the wrong term. But that's me. I know here I might think I'm full of shit, you know.
Well, there's this thing that happens. And I think it answers the call of, I guess, sort of this emptiness maybe folks feel. And it's this thing you said, so... And I don't even want to call it like a methodology in tribal communities, because it's not written down. It's not expressed as it is in academics. It's not something that you have to ever write 2 pages about to establish the course of your research. None of that ever happens in tribal communities, but there is an overarching philosophy of why we do something and the way that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the misunderstandings when that starts to enter into this space where there's this codification of knowledge or the pathways to knowledge. Yeah, did you hear that? Codify.
God damn.
that then those who are looking outside in from that understanding, they expect to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true when we talk about something very simple as the truth. They expect, okay, everything that you folks are doing ought to be arriving at this singularity or these set of truths that you can write down. What's going on?
Like, you're on one, dude.
I am. Well, you know, it's been a while. I got a lot on my mind.
I like it. Keep it going. I like it, man.
So this is the deal. But there's also, now listen to this.
I'm listening.
Because this is about this criticism or this idea of everybody sort of telling the same story and just kind of agreeing, sort of not to disagree, but just agreeing that that's a different story. But the same story, but different storyline in a way.
Yeah.
So in the discipline of science in particular, there's a whole body of research or belief that also is true, that there's many truths or many ways to arrive at the truth. That consensus is not always an indicator of truth. Because you could get many terrible people believing in one thing and
government.
Yeah, making that be the facade of truth, if you will. So there's this thing that came across. I can't remember what the guy's name is, but he
press pause real quick because let's give time for the audience to reflect on what you just said. That was pretty badass what you just said. I was like, this guy's on one, man. Like,
he's like, no, I mean, we've said all these things already.
But I like the way you're talking. It's like, yeah, I like it. It's cool, man. Go for it. Keep going.
Man, I don't know. I lost my flow.
No, you didn't.
What was I saying?
Dude, just take go with your spouse, man.
No, because this is the thing.
Okay.
So this is the belief that I hold true, that I think seems to be true. Mm-hmm. Yet there isn't a consensus. But do I need a consensus? Do I need a consensus to uphold my belief?
No.
So I can go on alone. Go rogue and believe the thing that I think ought to be the truth.
Well, I think what you're saying, was your thought completed?
Sort of, yeah. I can
finish it.
Because what I have to say now is sort of I can't articulate it as well.
Okay.
And it's this idea. It's called a non-overlapping magisteria. How about that for a word?
All right, say that again. Say it again.
Non-overlapping. Say it with me.
Non-overlapping.
Magisteria.
Magisteria. Okay, can you tell? Okay, based on your research, just your quick, I don't know what you did in terms of research, but what does that mean?
Essentially, it means that two things can hold different truths that don't necessarily have to overlap,
one thing can hold different truths.
This was developed in this idea of science and religion. Mm-hmm. So the common line of dispute is, well, science believes in this idea of evolution, and yeah, this long time period of the evolution of Earth, the evolution of organisms and man, etc. Whereas religion has a different story that follows a different timeline, but also talks about the creation of the earth, not in the same terms, the creation of things, living things on the earth, but not in the same terms. But essentially saying that those two things, they're both legitimate, but they don't overlap, and that's okay. They can both live as separate truths, I guess. That's what I understand of it. And I just was introduced to the term recently. So that's about all I know about it. It was just kind of weird because it's a strange word that kind of sticks in my head.
I've never heard it. Yeah. I've never heard it. My only knowledge of it now is you, but excuse me. I would agree with it.
Yeah.
I would agree with it. And I would say that, man, okay, so I kind of was talking about something similar, at least when it comes to religion and science. So
yeah.
Now, okay, people are gonna attack us on the word religion. We're like, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. It's like, all right, okay. I get it. Okay, so let's just, for this conversation, we'll interchange spirituality and religion. We're gonna use them as the same thing.
Well, how can you say that? They're totally different. No, okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead. We get it. Yeah, so, we know what you mean.
Science to me is a lot of things, but it's the power of observation and it's the accounting of something, right?
Yeah.
So I've always believed that the greatest tool in science is observation.
Yeah.
And I think most scientists would probably agree, right? Your single most powerful tool in science is observation. Now,
yeah, as a starting point.
As a starting point. As a starting point. Now, I don't know if in your toolbox, your most powerful weapon is interpretation, right? I've never heard anyone really say that. Your interpretation of data is one thing, but the observation is the catalyst behind all of this stuff.
Yeah. You got to have the observation first.
Yep. Observation has to be there. You can't do your work without observation. And obviously the more observation, the more better. And religion, whether it's Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, native belief, whatever, it's also an accounting for something. Think that belief, when people ask me like, how can you work in sciences and believe in indigenous culture, or like same for you, it almost seems like that's the thing, whatever it is you're talking about. I can't say that
non-overlapping magisteria,
the majesty overlapper. I don't know, but it seems like that's the thing. That's the thing that allows that to happen. That I can believe wholeheartedly that the Crow Indians were created by one creator who commanded four ducks to go into the water and collect mud. I can believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And you do.
I do. And I can also believe, based on the evidence, that the theory of evolution is the most accurate theory we have.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't say, Aaron, you're less Crow or you're less whatever. I still feel pretty Crow.
You don't want to go do a book burning of Darwin?
No.
Or try to create a competing museum of the origin of Earth to compete with the science museum?
No. It doesn't bother me that... horses were introduced to us later. I do challenge the date in which it was introduced. Yeah. I challenge the date. It doesn't bother. It doesn't hurt me. I think there's all of this stuff that challenges my beliefs. And maybe that's what it is, Your Majesty.
Yeah, I mean, essentially that's what it's saying. It's saying that science and religion, they can't really contradict each other because they each have their own sort of range of of inquiry, or they each answer to something.
They also have, they both have their limit. They have their limitations.
Correct.
It's also okay to know that we don't need to know everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
It's probably safe to say we know too much.
Yeah.
What is that? I'm gonna type this into a note here. What is that thing you said?
Non-overlapping magisteria.
Okay. Non-overlapping magisteria. How do you spell
magisteria? Magisteria. Stephen Jay Gould, paleontologist. He's the one who proposed this idea. I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's a new idea.
Okay, magistrate. Stop. M-A-G-I-S-T.
E. R. M-A-G-I. Oh, God.
M-A-G. Yeah.
M-A-G-I-S-T-E-R-I-A.
A. Huh. I got it. It's there, though. Okay, I got it. Sorry.
Okay, you
about
got
that.
It. Listen, no problem.
I'm just saying, man. Like, you freaking blew my mind. I don't even know how to. I feel like I bullshitted my way through that response too. Like, what you're trying to get me to. Because, man, I don't know what you're talking about, to be honest. And I'm.
Well, yeah,
I crumble to your knowledge.
No, it's not that at all. Because you already said it. You said it in the passage that I played. It's essentially the same thing, but housed within the tribal reality. So you can think in the tribal reality, there also is this idea of the non-overlapping magisteria in a way. Well, I don't know. This is what I'm wondering. I don't know. I think today there is, because we don't believe the same things oftentimes within our own tribal groups.
Yeah, but I think there's also an attempt at an artificial narrative, like to make it to, we've adopted. So going back to the question when you said about variation and about you played the thing for me and all that, we've learned this single narrative thing from something.
Yeah,
it hadn't existed anywhere.
Yeah,
and I don't want to attack the church or anything, but it seems to be that. It seems to be that's the basis of it, because of the idea of gospel and doctrine and this idea that this is the official playbook, you know?
Yeah.
Prior to that, tribes, I don't think they spent a lot of time on the critique of that thing, of whatever their stories were. Each family had their stories and everyone liked to hear the other versions. And I don't think there was this competition to say, like, there's an official narrative. Now I'm leading into something else now, I guess, is this is my critique of culture committees.
Yeah. We've talked about this quite a bit.
Yeah. And I've seen it more and more, you know, now that I work primarily in preservation and it's dangerous. I feel like it's dangerous. And I know people think, because everything in us tells us, okay, a culture committee's job is to not only preserve culture, interpret how we're going to use culture, but also like kind of be stewards of it in the community.
Yeah.
But man, it's doing something, and I don't know. And of course, I think you and I think the same when it comes to this, but I don't know how many people there are that think like us and are willing to challenge that idea that those are dangerous in the long run.
Well, I think so. I think it's right. And I would venture to guess that it's this indoctrination of what you said about this belief in this one single truth, the Bible. And I'm not a scholar of the Bible, but I wonder how often had that changed.
I would assume it would have had to have changed often, because it wasn't English to begin with, but also, so there's linguistic variation.
Yeah.
But also, like, the Gospels themselves are supposed to be the points of view of different people.
Yeah.
But obviously, you and I are not biblical scholars. I'm not a scholar at all. Like, I'm not at all. Man. Like, I think I dabbled in that world for a little while.
Let's not play the pity party.
I don't work in that though, Sean Dean. I don't.
You're not. You can't decide what you are.
Okay.
There you go. Just shut up.
Shut up.
I'm not a scholar. What the heck is this? You just went back to fifth grade.
Hey, no.
Me.
Okay.
Nobody likes me.
I'm not cool enough. I mean, I guess I'm not a scholar in the sense that you are. Like, you work in academics.
No. We're one and the same, partner.
But
I'm gonna cut that off right there. But yeah, no, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I get what you mean, though. I mean,
I get what you mean, too.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you're a little more polished because you're staying in the business, where, like, my job is, like, regulatory, and it's in a lot of ways counter to my beliefs,
right? You know,
by creating single narratives and getting it on paper. And
yeah.
But it's the system we're dealt, and it's right now it's the only system. I agree, it's not the best system, but
yeah.
It is, man. But damn, dude, I'm shook, man.
Well, I'm glad you're shook, because I'm going to play you one more clip.
All right.
And this leads right into what we're talking about. Exactly. And I want you to listen to this. This is the intervention time. We want you to get that internet, man. We're really getting concerned about you. You're getting kind of reclusive.
I kind of like it, man.
Yeah, it's kind of freeing, I bet, huh? Do you get into a lot of TV now because you don't got a lot of internet? Or you're always kind of a TV guy, though, huh?
Oh, I like TV, dude. I've never been one of them guys that's like, you know, TV will rot your brain, dude. I love TV. I want more TV. Oh.
Okay, listen to this then. Because this kind of leads into what we're talking about a bit. I think. Let's start. Are you ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm immediately
that's confusing.
Immediately offended.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I get what you're saying, Cammy. Yeah, and I don't want people to think somehow like I'm some kind of like a culture Nazi or something, but I do
no
think...
No soup for you!
No soup for you. Okay. I do think there's been a couple Seinfeld references in this show.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we use our feelings sometimes as a crutch or like a cop out sometimes. We'll say, well, this is how I feel. So therefore it doesn't matter. You got to accept it. This is how I feel. And it's like, well, I get that and I respect it. But at the same time too, there is an underlying idea of uniformity among tribal people. Yeah. And that's what makes us a tribe. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. The individuality does exist within that system.
Yeah. There you go. So this is the thing.
That was a little better to hear for some reason, the voice part. But
what?
Go ahead.
No, that was a bit more consumable.
Yeah, it was.
You had it mixed in there with a little bit of Cameo, a little bit of Brenda.
Good to hear Cameo, man. Good to hear Brenda.
A little bit of Sarah in there. What happened back? Yeah, she was in there too, laughing around a bit.
Oh,
we should have him back in. Let's do it. Have a good laugh.
Have a good laugh, sees.
Yeah, so this is the thing. And this is what I was talking about. This non-overlapping magisteria. This idea that there can be these two separate things with different intents and different purposes, that they can exist together. They might have their own individual pathways of inquiry to discover things, and they can exist.
Mm-hmm.
They might generate their own separate facts, and they might value those things differently. Can that exist internally in a tribal group? Because then it goes against this idea of uniformity, right? To have a tribe, you sort of have to have this overlying uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
But uniformity in what way? That's what I'm curious about. I mean, I think I know the answer, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, come on, man. You work in this. You were just talking about it. The singularity you have to battle against all the time. He's thinking about it. He's got nothing.
I'm buffering.
Buffering. Froze up.
Okay. All right. Here. Okay.
Okay.
Ask me the question again.
So what you said in the clip was that inherently there's uniformity among tribes. There has to be, because that's what makes them a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a characteristic of individuality within that tribe. But can it exist in the same way that we would think about this non-overlapping magisteria? Within a tribe, can you have two vastly separate sort of ranges of pursuits of knowledge? Or do they have to be fairly uniform, guided by, you know, what the common thing people say, guided by the stories of creation? If you all believe in the stories of creation, then, you know, there's this idea that you all sort of have the same philosophical undertones or underpinnings, or we can think of other those adjectives. We need Cameo on here to word police us. Are those adjectives? underpinning, undertone, foundation. Go.
Yeah, my gut's gonna say yeah, right? Yeah. It's possible. So okay, so the crow belief is that let me give an example. Let's just say somebody okay, wanted example. To own a medicine, a spiritual power.
Okay.
Crows believe there's several ways to get that.
Yep.
There's purchasing. Yep. So you can go to somebody who owns the thing you want or part of it or whatever. You'll give them gifts and you'll feed them and they'll transfer that to you.
Yeah.
The other way, there's another way that you can fast and you'll receive that or whatever.
Yeah.
There's some other ways to get them, but we'll kind of stick with them too.
Okay.
Those are very different. Right. Okay. The underlying idea there is that the crows clearly acknowledge that you yourself cannot just conjure up something.
Yeah.
That's the belief.
Okay.
That's that underlying thing we're talking about in this example.
Yeah.
But very different philosophies in going and purchasing something and going and fasting for something.
Okay.
Very different.
Yeah.
I would say they're both appropriate.
Yeah.
I might myself favor one over the other or value one over the other. But sure. I would both say that they're correct.
Yeah.
That if somebody came to me and said, Aaron, I purchased this medicine, I would not say that was wrong.
Yeah.
Because the root of the belief is that, well, at least they didn't just say, this is what I have.
Yeah.
That this is what, it's verified by something. Somebody said, this is what I owned. We all acknowledged they had it. I transferred it to this person. Yeah. It's verified. There's witness to it.
Yeah.
So same thing with the fasting. If it given to you, you would go to your clan fathers or mothers and they would tell you what it is. It's not you just coming up with something.
Yeah.
That's the only example I can kind of think of, at least offhand, of this idea that there is an underlying belief.
Yeah.
And that underlying belief is simply that we're not promoting ourselves.
Yep.
But there are two very different beliefs in that I can just go and get this one-stop shop, or I can do it this other way, which some might say is harder.
Yeah.
But I myself am not valuing one over the other.
Yeah.
They have equal authority.
Yeah.
How you got there might be easier, whatever, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
They have equal authority. So that's the only thing I can kind of think of in on like a real tangible kind of like,
yeah,
here's a simple idea that yes, uniformity exists.
Okay.
Variation still exists on top of that. Yeah. Inside of it. I don't know. Someone don't attack me. I'm like, we don't have layers. It's not linear, whatever. I don't. Please leave me alone.
But yeah.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. There's different pathways to gaining the similar thing.
Yeah, then you could probably just replace that there, that idea that
yeah,
it's all going to be like the kick in the bellies of the crows believing a different creation story than the river crows.
Yeah. But those would all be sort of tied together by a common belief, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Which makes them not necessarily the thing that doesn't make them fall into the category of the non-overlapping magisteria, because that says that the belief they're severed. There's no underlying similarity. And my curiosity is if that exists. It seems to exist now, but I can't articulate it now. And I think it exists partially in just because of the boarding school kind of beat into people the belief in religion, But I don't know if that they really disbelieve to the degree of denial in the traditional ways, or whether it's just repressed. I don't know.
Man, that might be a different episode.
I think so. But we've talked about it before, but I'm just curious because
this was supposed to be like the Get Back Into the Rhythm podcast.
We are. This is it. Like,
this is
our
rhythm. This is like real heavy, like,
oh, come man, on.
I'm having a hard time like keeping up with you. Dude, no. You're way smarter than me. That's all it comes come down on. To.
No. I just took some notes. That's all. You're in a hotel room. Just got done soaking in the hot tub.
I did.
In Helena, Montana. Yeah.
Opened up my hips a little bit. I got these tight hips, and as the old Shakira says, hips don't lie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I think you're right. My gut, there has to be examples of it, though. But yeah. I get it when you're saying, like,
yeah,
maybe before a certain time there was, man, I don't know.
No, I think that's the key right there, what you just said. That has to be an example. And if there isn't an example, what is it? It's nothing.
Could the horse be it?
It could be.
Just the introduction of the horse, what allowed that to happen within our system? Because if we were kind of a dogmatic system, if we were kind of orthodox, we wouldn't allow that foreign influence. We would say our ideology does not allow us to incorporate foreign, whatever that is, right?
But
for some reason, we had a system that allowed for the horse to not only incorporate into the beliefs, but to become part of the fabric of the belief. Like,
yeah,
it's accounted for, you know? So that's why, I mean, if somebody says the horse has always been with us, I get why they say that. It makes sense because of that accounting or whatever this thing is. You're saying these big smart people words.
No,
it must be metric. It's Canadian. It's
No, I think you're right. This is the thing. There's flexibility. There's flexibility in the pursuit that tribal people have. You see it. The horse is an example. We're not like, and then I'm not, don't want to say nothing bad about Amish folks. You know, the real orthodox religions that say we're going to live this way. We're not going to modernize. Even in the modern world, we're just going to stick to the horse and buggy. Mm-hmm. We're not like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there was, I don't know for sure, but it seems like we weren't predispositioned to be like that. Number one, because we took on the horse.
We took on the horse, we took on the gun. We took on foreign belief systems in terms of ceremony. We also, new forms of ceremony were created within our own systems. There's always evolution in that.
Yeah.
But I think whatever that uniformity is allows for that to happen. And maybe that's this thing you're talking about, the overpass of the Mad King Magus.
I don't know. I don't think it is that because I think the underlying belief remained the same. I think.
Oh, I think I get what you're saying now then.
Yeah.
Oh.
The underlying belief that did not change. I don't think.
That's something. Okay. So, oh.
Okay.
Now I'm really confused. But
no, well, don't worry about
it. I get what you're saying because I've always kind of held this belief that say Crow people are you could use anyone, Salish people, whatever.
Yeah.
And you could say, okay, there's this core thing, whatever that makes it them. And that's even hard sometimes to just pin down.
Yeah. But
it allows for things to come and go out of it that still feel natural.
Yeah.
It still feels like it's supposed to be there. So a good example is the Crow Shoshone Sundance.
Yeah.
It comes from the Shoshone people, but there's nobody that would go to a Crow Sundance and say like, oh, this clearly isn't Crow. You know, like it, we found a way to, it fits our beliefs. It encompasses who we are. And as Robert Lowy said, the anthropologist, he said, crows value success over antiquity.
Yeah.
And I always took that to believe that if it works, they're going to use it. If it doesn't, they're going to discard it.
Yeah.
That also means for their origin, their original beliefs, they're going to push ceremony out. They're going to bring ceremony in. And for some reason, this idea really threatens Indian people today because of cultural insecurity.
Yeah.
There's a cultural insecurity that we have. But this is something we've always done. It allows for this to happen, whatever this thing is. And I've always seen it as an organism, like tribal society is an organism. It's a living thing.
Yeah.
It's always 100% full though.
Yeah.
It's never 80%. It's never 60%. Now, if there's kinship and governance and religion and all this stuff, music, song, all that social organization in it, if you pull one of those things out, that doesn't leave a void. It means the organism replaces it with something.
Yeah.
So whatever that thing is, it can be new forms of kinship. It can be new religions. It could also just be, it could be addiction. It can be, church. It can be negative. The organism isn't subject to only positive.
Yeah.
It's not even seen positive or negative. It's just seen it. And it's always 100% full. And it's always going to find a way to replace itself, replace what's being taken out and whatever. So if for you guys, if it was like the whole, like a foundation ceremony, like the medicine dance, and I'm not wishing that on it or anything, but if it was pulled out of that organism, your society naturally, without even your influence, is going to replace it with something.
Yeah.
And that might just be an enhancing of something else.
Yeah.
And you see this in other places where like the sweat then becomes this bigger thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's also the reason why they can say, well, this is how it's always been. This is our religion. This is our, we didn't add or take away. It's in their right, but there's an enhancing that happens to it.
Yeah.
And I think that is hard for people to admit, though.
It is. It is. It's really hard. There's this, we get hung up on this authenticism that we feel like we need to.
We equate authentic with old.
Yeah. Now you said it right there. That's it. So this evolution is natural. Culture is never lost. Traditions change. Traditions come and go.
Ritual changes.
Rituals come and go. Ceremony changes come and go. so it seems like this idea of the non-overlapping magisteria can't really happen within a unique tribal group. It seems like it cannot happen within. But you said something. You said something right at the beginning when we were talking about it, or even before we talked about it, because you said that you can believe wholeheartedly in the facts and evidence that's produced by science, and wholeheartedly the facts and evidence produced by your own tribal creation and customs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's a non-overlapping magisteria. There could be some overlap there. And for some reason, go ahead.
You're right. Okay, so now my understanding of what you're saying is like, that is non-overlap. I mean, there is no overlap, that because the uniformity is what's allowing me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's still that base. I think you're right. I mean, I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I might have to sleep on it.
You're gonna have to sleep on it because
I have to put a ribbon shirt on. Maybe. I have this thing against ribbon shirts, man.
Put on a ribbon shirt. Get a star quilt. Wrap up in it. Light your. Your what is that shell that gets used all the time?
Conch.
The conch. Get the conch warmed up with a nice wad of sage. Let it smolder in your presence. Then the answers will come to you in a dream. Now, this won't be the typical dream that you're accustomed to. Because in this dream, the animals will talk to you and they'll tell you the mysteries of life. I don't know. I can't keep it up.
I'm a snake. You ever see that video?
I'm a snake.
I'm a snake. I'm a slithery snake.
I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Man, how long did we go?
We're done.
How long have we been going?
We've been going 1 hour, 11 minutes. I think we're good.
That's perfect. Should we go Facebook Live?
Let's do it. We're good. There's some good questions. We're going to get back to it.
Yeah, this right now. Is good.
This is good. We needed this. Let's see who we got on the sponsorship list. And man, these guys have been hanging in there for a long time, man, helping us out. I think, you know, we pay for the podcast service.
Mm-hmm.
We pay for the transcription service. We've got a website, all those things. Helps to pay for all those things. Awesome. Generally, it's just enough to pay for those things. So we just picked up a new sponsor. Not sure. It might be Jacob. Picked up Jacob. Not sure where from. I suspect, but I'm not sure. But thanks, Jacob, for your donation. Man, it's needed. This guy needs his internet. He's pitiful. He can't get his internet. Look at him. If you could see his face now, his downturned lips. he's pale. He's probably clammy to the touch. His internet has been out for months and months. So thanks, Jacob, for the donation. Also, Julian Peterson coming in with a donation, monthly donation.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you, Jacob.
Heather, we got Heather Sabrepina. I think that's how you say her name.
Heather, awesome. Yeah.
She's been with us for since December. So has Julian. Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
And then we've got Ryan Swanson, been with us for quite a while, since 2020.
Ryan Swanson.
Man.
Ride or die. Ryan's ride or die. I love it.
Ryan's our ride or die. Yeah.
I love it.
Yes, yes.
I appreciate you, Ryan.
Yes, yes. Heart to heart. Another one since 2020. Emma Lefebvre.
Oh, Emma, thank you.
Fists in the air. Fist in the air.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Ride or dies. Loyal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Loyal to the pod.
And we got a few that have been with us since 2021. Marzana J.
Well, thank you, Marzana J.
Yeah, thank you. Rachel Holster. That's another one, been with us since 2021.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've heard the name. I remember. Yeah.
Okay. Good. And then also Jason Friage. I think that's how you say his name. Since 2022. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And then rounding off the list, we've got some pretty big sponsors here that's been helping us out. Remember Ray Donnelly? He's got the art gallery.
Donnelly. Oh, yep. Art gallery. Yep.
Man, thanks, Ray. You guys still ought to check out his website. Man, what was it called? Do you remember?
Man, Museum Art of the West or something?
I can't remember. Houston, though. What was it called? Wild Gallery. There it is. Wild Gallery. Ray Donnelly, Wild Gallery. Way to go. Thank you, sir. Go on over to his website, WYLD Gallery. Thank you, sir. And then also another big sponsor that's been with us since 2021, Travis Davis. Sorry about that. Travis Davis.
Yep.
Remember Travis Davis? Yeah. Still helping us out, helping the show stay on the air. Those are our sponsors, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Dang it. Thank you. Keeping us alive here. Yeah. Well,
you're appreciated.
You're loved and appreciated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.